Good luck, Mike. And whoever's downstairs. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, right? Even though, I mean, for those of you that like it cold, probably not as happy, but those of you that like it warm, you're like, man, it's the best Sunday ever, right? I mean, it's not too bad in here. My first faculty meeting, I ended up moving it because it got up to 79 degrees, and I don't like it hot, so it had to change. So today, I wanted to talk about your final destination. Not the movie. I mean, the movie's got some cool stuff in it, but not the movie. What is your final destination? And what does that mean? Because there's something really important that I want you all to know, is that you were made for eternity. Okay? You were made for it. When you were stitched together in the womb, you were made for it. That's how important you are. You were made for forever. Now, really got to remember that, okay? Because the fact is, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He made you, or He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So we don't understand everything. We're not going to understand everything. But what I want you to know is you are made for eternity, and now we have to live with eternity in mind. Okay? We have to live that way. Eternity in mind. Very important. Everything that we do should be looking toward that. So, I asked myself as I was writing this, what's some things that I look forward to? So I want you to think of some things you look forward to, like football games on Sunday afternoon, fishing, shopping for some people. I don't look forward to that. I mean, it could be anything, going out to dinner. Right now, I am really looking forward to a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup because I have not had one of those in a long time because my wife and daughter had this idea of some no sugar deal, and I jumped on track with that for some reason, okay? But, you know, that is nothing compared to eternity, okay? We should be looking forward to eternity. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 15. Listen to this and take heart in this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid to bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. And bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. So, eternity in mind the whole time. We need to remember that I'm hoping everyone believes the good book, okay? Because it's the truth. He is coming back. These things will happen. So we have to prepare now. Each and every day we have to prepare for eternity. It's very important, okay? We cannot procrastinate. I mean, you can ask my wife, lots of people. I mean, if I like to put things off, and that's not a good thing, okay? The only good thing about it is the job that I have now, you can't put things off. So you have to, so that helps me out with my procrastination. But at home, I'm a putter offer, okay? If it can't get done today, I'll wait till tomorrow or the next day. Amen. Okay? That's just me. And sorry, Tiffany. Okay? That's just how it happens. Okay? Also, another thing I thought about with eternity was thinking about the fact, I want you guys to remember that and remember those that we've lost that were just too young. Okay? So if I say we're going to prepare for eternity now, we need to, because you don't know your time or day. You don't. I can remember kids when I was in high school that passed away, and shock to everybody, but none of us know our time. Okay? So we have to prepare now. That's the thing. We have to prepare now. When I say the word eternal life, okay? Eternal life. It's an awesome word. Okay? What is that? What is eternal life? Well, the Bible lays it out for us. First of all, coming from John chapter 17, looking at verse 1 through 3, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that you know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So the first thing about eternal life that we need to know, it's about knowing God. Okay? The second thing is it's free. It's a free gift. A free gift. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. A free gift. Okay? What did that cost Jesus? He took on death for us. He suffered. First of all, I'll go back to the beginning. I want you all to know that Jesus was here in the beginning. He was in heaven. He left the greatest place ever to come here for you and me. Our Savior did that. The Son of God did that. Came down here for you and me. How awesome is that? That he came down here to save us. He showed us how to live, all the bracelets, the WWJD. He showed us how to live, but then he went through something that hopefully none of us ever have to go through, because we couldn't. There's no way that I could take the lashes that Jesus did and be hung on a cross. I'm not that tough. And none of you are either. But Jesus was. He was that tough. And he did it for you and me. He took every bit of it. He took every one of our sins, every mistake that you've made, and every mistake that you will make, along with those that I've made and I will make. He put them on his shoulders and carried them to the depths away from us. How awesome is that? Free for us, but not free, okay? Because Jesus paid for it. What does Jesus ask of us? Simple. Surrender. Surrender. So, I want you to know it's something you can have now. Eternity is something that you can have in mind now. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You now have eternal life. How do you get it? It's by receiving Jesus. John 6:40 says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall now have eternal life. I will raise them up on that last day. Eternal life. Love it. Love it. So there's two possibilities to eternity. Two. Okay? One is, of course, heaven. And what's that going to be like? And I think that if you got your Bibles, you probably need to turn to you could turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. This is Jesus on the cross with the two criminals. And the first thing I want you to know about this is what heaven will be like is paradise. The Bible says paradise. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him and says, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since under the same sentence we are punished justly, for we are getting our deeds as deserved, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I believe Jesus. So that means paradise. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? It's paradise. And I'm not talking about some beach in Mexico, which I always thought was paradise. It's going to be way, way back. Can't even fathom. One of the first verses I read says, we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We can't fathom what heaven looks like. I have pictures of it from Revelation, all right? We know that there's streets of gold. There's always jokes about, you know, what we think is really precious you walk on in heaven, okay? But streets of gold looks, I can't even imagine, beautiful. All right, we know that there's gates made out of a pearl, not pearls. A pearl, a single pearl, that's a big pearl. Or a small, that probably doesn't matter, but it's going to be big to us, okay? The gate, awesome, fantastic. We also know that there's all these gems and things that we think are really awesome that is like the foundation walls of this place. I can't even imagine. We can't. But we know that Revelation gives us that little bit of picture of what heaven's going to look like. I want you to know it's going to be paradise, but the best thing about it is we're going to be with God. Okay? We're going to be with God. Okay? In Revelation 21, down toward the bottom of verse 3, it says, they will be his people. Actually, it says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That is something to say amen about. God is going to be with us. Okay? Now, granted, God is with us now, but this is a different type of with us. This is like you hear the stories in the Bible of men walking alongside with God. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. We're going to physically see God. He will be with us. The next thing is, one that we're always all looking for, is there will be no more sorrow or pain, which is in Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and there will be no more death, mourning, crying, pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Who's ready for that day? Okay? Who's ready for that? I know when I was younger, I never really thought about that. I could do stupid stuff and never get hurt. Now I do. I think about something stupid, I get hurt. I don't even have to really do it. Okay? It's crazy. That's how growing up and getting older happens. Okay? That's part of life. The next one, we will worship and serve God forever. Revelations 22, 1 through 5 says, the angel showed me the river of life, the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. For they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They will not need light, the light of a lamp, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light as they reign forever and ever. I want you to know that you were made for this. You were made for this. Okay? So, how do you get there? Okay? How do you get there? Every Sunday we talk about how to get there, but how do you get there? I want you to know you're not good enough to get there by yourself. You're not good enough. All right? You can't do it. Okay? Psalms 53, 1 through 3 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are anyone who understands and any who seek God. Everyone is turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's us, people. Come on. You know it. We're not good. Okay? We're not good. Not one of us are good. It's probably not even good to go up to a little boy and say, good boy. Okay? Because they're not good. Okay? They're not. We're not good. And I want you to know that you can't work hard enough to get there. Because work ain't going to get you there. Okay? You can't say I'm a good person. I do all this stuff. Doing this stuff doesn't get you there. Okay? Your good works won't get you there. Romans 9, 30 through 32 says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but the people of Israel who pursued the law by the way of righteousness have not obtained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but by their works. they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Works won't get you there. Trusting in Christ is the only way to get you there. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Amen. Okay? You have to trust in Christ. Now, that's the good part, okay? So, heaven is awesome. But there's another type of eternity we need to talk about, and that type of eternity is hell. Okay? H-E double hockey sticks, however you want to say it, okay? All right? It's bad. It's not good. There's not some little dude in there with these little horns and the pitchfork that shows up on the shoulder in the cartoons. It's not like Percy Jackson's Hades, or it's not like that. There's nothing that can portray it. You can't think of a horror movie that's out there that will portray what hell looks like because it's bad. Okay? Don't think you can. It's not some place that you go to survive because it is eternal death. Think about that. Some people would say this is a scare tactic, blah, blah, blah. It's not a scare tactic, it's the truth. Okay? You need to know it. It's the truth that hell is bad. Okay? It's hard to even explain, except for, and I believe we might even use these verses a few weeks ago, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 gives us a good look at what hell is. First of all, I want you to know that hell is a real place. Starting in verse 19, there was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores, longing to eat what fell at the rich man's table. A time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he was tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So, one little picture of hell with somebody being tormented. That doesn't sound good at all. All right? Luke 16, if I read on through 24, so he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his, to dip the tip of his finger. Maybe I should slow down a little bit because it's hot in here. All right? In water to cool my tongue because I'm in agony of this fire. So it's a place of anguish. Agony. Crazy. We talked a little bit in 23, but if I read 26, and besides all this, between us and you and me is a great chasm that has set us in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot. This is Abraham speaking. Okay? Abraham before that in 25 said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, and now he's comforted here and you're in agony. That kind of scares me a little bit, because I want to tell you right now, I received a lot of good things, okay? A lot of good things, and I don't always do what's right with the things that are given to me, okay? Because I'm selfish, and so are you guys, okay? We're selfish, all right? Selfishness is really what gets us in trouble in this life. It's about selfishness. So selfishness is going to get us to this place that we don't want to go to, all right? It's not something we want to be in. It is a place of separation. You can't go back and forth. You can't go spend a day in hell and then go to heaven, all right? You can't work your way out of hell. Once you're there, it's final. Done deal, okay? If you're in heaven and your family and friends are in hell, you can't go get them out. It's final, okay? Very important to know that it is a place of finality. Verse 27, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. I have five brothers to let them warn him so that they will not also come to this place. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, if they haven't listened to Moses and the prophets, then they will not be convinced if someone raises from the dead. That's pretty stern, okay? That's a pretty big deal. Meaning if we're not going to listen to the word of God, we're making a bad choice, okay? As the rich man made the bad choice. So why would a loving God send anybody to hell? Right? He loves us so much. We were created for eternity, right? Yet, send somebody to hell? First of all, I want you to know this. Hell wasn't designed for you. that was not designed for you. Okay? Matthew 25:41 says, then they will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared for the devil and his angels, not you. If you make a bad choice, you're going to go there. Okay? That's all I can say about it. God's not going to ignore sin. Not going to. But I do want you to know that we were created for that relationship with God. We were created for eternity. We were created for heaven. We were created to be with him forever in relationship. It's not God's desire that anyone should perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is waiting on you. It's on you. This is a tough statement right here. I'm going to read the verse first, John 6:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him, on them. People choose hell. I want you to know that. If you don't choose Jesus, you choose hell. You got two choices. Okay? It's not A, B, C, D. It's A, B. Choose Jesus or don't. Your choice. God's not sending you to hell. You're choosing it. Something you really got to remember. And the last thing I want to talk about is there's going to be a final judgment for everyone in this room. A final judgment. That judgment is coming. It's going to happen. Acts 17:30-31. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. We are going to be judged. Jesus either knows us or he doesn't. He wants everyone to know him. Everyone. The good thing is, if you believe, if you've accepted Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, there's things that you're going to do after that. Okay? You're going to. Because if you believe this, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins, you're going to do stuff. You're still going to make bad decisions. You're still going to sin. But you're going to be working for Jesus. That's the job. That's why you're here. You should want to bring people with you. If you're saved and you're truly a believer, you're saved and you want everybody else to be saved too? That's the goal. Everybody should want to be safe. You should want everybody to be safe. Okay? It's very important that we think about our friends and family. We think about our neighbors. And we think about ourselves, of course. We're safe. Okay? I want you to think about some of the things that Jesus says when he speaks and when he teaches. All right? A big one I want you to think about is this. Jesus went to John the Baptist to get baptized. He ain't never sinned, right? But he did it. And the reason he did it, he said this, it was awesome. Okay? He said, we must do this to achieve all righteousness. So if you want to be right, righteous, if you want to achieve all righteousness, just like Jesus did, you're going to jump in the water. You're going to find it as quick as you can. Okay? Bible says. Next, I want you to know that unbelievers, they're going to be condemned. Those who choose B, they're going to be condemned. Okay? They're going to be condemned. All we can do is plant the seed. There might not be anything we can do about it, but we got to try because they will be condemned. Revelation 20:11-15, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing in front of the throne and the books were open and another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done and recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So if you want your name to be in the book of life, then you better have Jesus as your attorney. You better have Jesus as your payment for your sin, because I want you to know that when the book of life is opened up, Jeff Gibson's name's not going to be in there. At least not the Jeff Gibson in this room. There's two of us, okay? All right? But I know that Jeff Gibson's saved. And I know this Jeff Gibson's saved. I've accepted Jesus. His blood's washed my name out of there, okay? I will not be judged, just like any of you who believe. Amen? Amen. So, as the singers come up here and we get ready for this invitation hymn, I want you to think about how you get there. I love to say John 3:16-17. About every time I've preached, I've said it somewhere in my sermon. But the fact is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he did not send his Son to the world to condemn it, but to save it. All right? So if you want eternity in heaven with God, you choose Jesus today. You don't wait another second, because the other option's not good. Eternity with Jesus. That's what this day should be about. And if you're safe, like I said, if you're safe, then think about your friends and family, your coworkers. Think about the people that's around you, because you've been commissioned. If you're safe, you've been commissioned to bring others with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you.